KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear and 43 degrees in Atlantic. We do look for mostly sunny skies here today with a high of 67. Winds southwest at around 10 to 20 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen on the check of the latest area and state news. In local news, the Atlantic City Council met Wednesday evening and approved an order to enter into an agreement with SWPCO, the Southwest Iowa Planning Council, for regional taxi service. The city contributes $8,000 per year from the local option sales tax progress fund for regional public transportation. City Administrator John Lund says the funds have been budgeted for in the fiscal year 2019 and carried forward into the fiscal year 2020 proposed budget, as well as the city's 10-year budget plan. The council also set November 7th as the date for a public hearing on an updated comprehensive city plan. That plan, which has been updated by SWPCO, is intended to be a guiding document for the Planning and Zoning Commission and the City Council when it comes to major decisions on public policy, according to Lund, who says Atlantic's last comprehensive plan was adopted in December of 2002. And while the general practice is for the plan to be updated every 10 years, Lund says administrative conflicts related to the interpretation of the plan and how it was to be applied to development in the community had resulted in an extensive delay before the updating process was initiated. The Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed the draft during their meeting on September 20th and made some suggestions for improvement. They recommend the council adopt the plan as written following the required public hearing on November 7th. And in his report to the council, Administrator Lund says he's wrapped up everything needed for a 28E fire services agreement with the Atlantic Fire Department and other townships that they've been working with.
It took quite a while, but it's passed it on to the fire chief, and we'll see kind of where it goes. Hopefully they agree to it, and then we'll work with Dale, perhaps establishing special taxing districts for Washington and Bear Grove, and that would help budget a great deal. And also pay for the debt on the pumper truck. Those, the city still has those funds. They haven't been released yet. So once we get that done, then get those agreements passed, we Mark can go ahead and buy the pumper truck.
Lund says the city's department heads met Tuesday to conduct the annual budget reviews, which he says is kind of the official kickoff to the budget season. He also spoke with City Attorney Mark Bosworth with regard to rental property inspections, which Bosworth will research more, and a committee will follow up on next month. The inspections, according to Councilman Chris Jimerson, would be conducted on a complaint basis if the plan moves forward. Bosworth said he wants to take a closer look at the legal angle of the inspections before anything is written in stone.
I want to look into if any cities especially have had a problem with the complaint basis being used as, you know, basically retribution for, you know, problems with between the renters and the landlords rather than legitimate complaints, and kind of see what other cities are doing. So that's kind of where I want to start before I make any recommendations.
Yeah. Jimerson said the committee has discussed what the course of action might be if a complaint by a renter turns out to be unfounded when an inspection is conducted.
So if you have issued a complaint and it's unfounded, then the person issuing the complaint would have to pay the fee for the inspection.
In other business, the Atlantic City Council held the second reading of an ordinance pertaining to speed regulations on Sunnyside Lane from 10th to 22nd Streets, and the second reading of an ordinance pertaining to trees in the city right-of-way and the authority of the city forester. They also approved a resolution adopting the building permit, a permit fee schedule, and a resolution pertaining to the city's personnel policy. Certified enrollment in the Griswold Community School District is down this year. Superintendent Dave Hendricks told KJAN News yesterday he spoke about the figures with the Griswold School Board during their meeting that was held Monday evening.
In Iowa, there are really two counts. There's a certified count and there's a bed count. Certified is the number of students that reside in your district. It does not matter where they go, simply where they live. And the bed count is the number of kids that are served by your district, regardless of where they reside. With that being said, our certified enrollment was 475.8. That is down 28.1 students from a year ago.
Henrik said the beds, or basic educational data survey enrollment, is 444.9, which is a decrease of 31.8 students. He said they anticipated a decrease in enrollment of about 15 students, which accounted for 46 graduating seniors and a kindergarten class of about 30, but they didn't anticipate this many. He said that the open enrollment had very little to do with a decline in the numbers.
Well, actually, our difference from this year to last year is a difference of two. We had two fewer kids open enroll out and four fewer kids open enroll in, so that made a net difference in the district of minus two. So the rest of the difference is simply to the fact that we had more students and families who moved out of the district than moved in.
The difference in funding from the state of $6,700 per student would amount to a loss of about $100,000 to $125,000 for the district, which he said would be made up through various methods, including the offering of early retirement.
One of the things the board chose to do Monday night was to reinstate our early retirement incentive package, which we had last year also. But through that, typically, if teachers take advantage of it, you are having veteran teachers who are typically a little higher on the salary schedule leave the district and then replace them with younger, less experienced teachers who are lower on the salary schedule.
The early retirement package will be available for up to five teachers on a first-come, first-served basis. Last year, he said one teacher took advantage of the offer. Hendricks says a teacher must be at least 55 years of age with 10 years of service to the district. Teachers who are eligible must notify the district by February 25th in order to receive the $18,000 incentive package to be paid over 3 years. Another way the district expects to save money, he said, is through reduced operating costs associated with their facilities, especially when work on the new building is complete. Hendricks says that should save about $250,000 a year. He said also the Griswold School Board took action Monday during their meeting on some personnel changes.
Resignations were accepted from Mindy Rush, special education paraeducator at Lewis, and Holly Esbeck, middle school, high school paraeducator. Then new hires, Casey Croxall, special education paraeducator at Lewis. And then Austin Lorenz and Ryan South were also hired as volunteer wrestling coaches.
And he said the board was updated on their facilities building project, which has been affected, as you might expect, by swings in the weather.
The workers have had some struggles with the weather, but at the same time, they've been progressing very nicely. By the end of this week, we expect to have two-thirds of the cement floors poured. The roof is complete. The outside structure is solid. What we're lacking right now is windows. They're expected to be put in the next couple weeks. Once that is done, it'll be pretty much weather tight, and then they can continue work on the inside during the winter. And also throughout the process, currently they're doing in-wall and outside-of-wall mechanical heating and air conditioning work at the same time.
Elsewhere in area news, the Cass County Democratic Party is once again asking for your donations for their food drive to benefit Cass County residents. Democratic Party Chair Sherry Telly says this will be their third consecutive food drive. However, they have had others in the past, just not in consecutive years. The Cass County community, she says, has been generous in their outpouring of support for the less advantaged citizens of the county, and she hopes they will continue to support that cause. Food donations, as well as donations of paper goods and personal care items, can be brought to the Cass County Democratic Party headquarters at 511 Chestnut Street in Atlantic now through November the 8th. Telly says she hopes to have drop boxes placed in other towns. If you have any questions, you can call 712-243-8683. The Creston Police Department reports today that three people were arrested early this morning, just before 6 a.m., 35-year-old Heather Davis, 29-year-old Stephen Baylors, and 32-year-old Sean Tyndall were all arrested in an apartment at 209 East Mill Street in Creston. All three were charged with trespass. Davis was also wanted on a Union County warrant for failure to appear in court on a child support matter. She was being held in the Adams County Jail on a $1,300 bond. Baylors and Tyndall were being held at the Union County Jail on a $300 bond each. Creston police said yesterday a woman told authorities late Tuesday morning that sometime in the past few days her wallet was taken out of her vehicle while it was parked either at her residence or at the McDonald's in Creston. That wallet contained cash, personal identification cards, and other miscellaneous cards. The loss was estimated at $85. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.